Amen. Well, let's have a word of prayer and then we will begin. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for watching over us and for life and health and strength. For all the things, I know it doesn't seem like fun a lot of the times, Lord, but for all the obstacles that come our way, and Lord, for helping us over them, through them, around them, or under them. We thank you, Lord, that you'll never leave us and never forsake us. Lord, that you'll give us everything that we need to meet every day. Today, Lord, I just pray especially for Ling and Frank, for Christy, for Norman, for Monica and myself. Lord, for those that aren't able to be here, for John and Will. Lord, for John, for Pat and Steve, and I know they would be there too, Lord. For Esther as well, and for Leonard. Lord, for the families of those that are departed. For those that we have reached out to, Lord, and for those that we minister still to through the CDs, for Maslam and Georgina, for Stephen and Anne-Marie next door, for Carol and Harry and Marie, for Norman and Noel and Joan, for Jane and Corey. Pray especially for Sally, and very, very especially, Lord, for Sammy at this particular time. Lord, as he stands on the brink of eternity and looks off and looks out there, Lord, please, I pray you, Father, please put the wee bits together in his heart and mind. Please save his soul even now. For Kate, for Alan, and for Pearl, Lord, for my dad as well, and for all those that listen in, please, Lord, I pray you, would you help each one of us. For those that have slipped and slid, Lord, I pray you for a restoration. For those that have compromised, I pray you for wisdom and repentance. For those that are lost, Lord, I pray you that you would convict of sin and judgment to come and save. Lord, we just pray your presence with us tonight. I pray you, Father, please, that you would find our prayers and praises, the preaching and teaching and reading of your word, and all this, Lord, acceptable in your sight. Just love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. Just want to, I've already spoken with or mentioned it to Christy and that fella there, Norman. John is still not very well in hospital. He's still not eating properly and he's still not taking very many liquids. I think he maybe had a small stroke and his throat has been affected, so he's finding it difficult to swallow. He's still very weak and he's still quite confused. So please do pray for him. And over the past few months, if you've been listening to any of the broadcasts or the CDs, you'll have heard us mention Sammy and Kate. They were neighbours of Billy's and they were thick as thieves. I think they all used to enjoy a smoke together when they were back in the day. But Sammy is not very well. He's been in a wheelchair for years. His body's just quitting on him. I think he has multiple sclerosis along with many other complaints. He's very ill and he was only given until Monday past there to still be alive. I don't reckon he will live much more than a week, if that. He still won't listen to me about the gospel. Please do pray that all the wee bits of the gospel that we have shared over the years, and it has been years, the Lord will just put them together in his heart and have him make a decision. Difficult times, but we can only do what we can do. And the Lord said we only have to preach the gospel. He will do the convicting and the people will make the decisions. So we just keep preaching. But please do remember those people, especially at this time. That's Sammy and, of course, John. Please pray for Christine and Will too. I know whenever one person in a family hurts, the whole family hurts. So please do pray for them. All right. That's our special announcement. Just wanted to make sure we got all of those in. We're going to sing a song this time from our big hymn books, 279. Let Jesus come into your heart. 279.
If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus.
anybody that's interested, our reading is going to be from Matthew 28 and our preaching is going to be from Exodus 32. So that's Matthew 28 and Exodus 32. Right, our next hymn is going to be 332. Haven't sung this one for a while. We're going to give it a shot tonight. It's Channels Only, 332. Hymn book open. You can do the same if you like, but we're going to be reading from Matthew 28, very last chapter in the book of Matthew. Matthew has always held a very special significance for me because shortly after finding the Lord, after I got saved, I started studying in Matthew and I started learning many of the verses that helped me so much in the book of Matthew. Many times people are pointed to the book of John. And Romans is the two best books to start your journey into the gospel. But I started in Matthew. I love the book of Matthew. It has been a tremendous help to me. Matthew chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. And there ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. But as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept, and if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Amen. Thank you for that. Thank you for your good time. Prayer requests. We've already mentioned John, and we've already mentioned Sammy. Please do pray for them and their families. Sammy's wife is Kate. She doesn't keep very well either. Please do pray for her too. I've had a request from Pat and Steve about an acquaintance. His name's David Moore, so he might actually be a distant relation of Pat's, but he is known to them. And he is up in the cancer ward in Altmagelvin, which means he's not doing very well. So please do pray for a fella by the name of David Moore. I think maybe we'll have to get a prayer list done out and updated for Sunday. Would that be okay? Because I'm starting to lose track of all of our prayer requests. Christy has his PhD still in front of him, and that's on top of all of the work he's doing ordinarily. I know Frank's working away. Are you still mentoring Frank or helping the young ones?
Yeah.
Is that all done? Yeah. Oh, good job. You're back on your own time again.
Doing application. Yeah.
There you go. Please pray for Frank. He's got digs sorted out, and he and his flatmates are planning and getting back to business, I'm sure, like a whole lot of people. Pray for Will. We miss him too this evening. He is working on the first influx of A-level students and their complaints about maybe marks not being as high as they would like. He never gave a name. I'm going to share a story with you. One of the complaints he had to deal with one year was a woman ringing up and saying, My son got 10 A's. And Will said, That's very good. She said, but why didn't he get 10 A stars like all of his friends? And the obvious answer to that is, well, he should have worked just that little bit harder, but you can't say that. So some of the complaints are a little bit like that, but I'm sure with everything that's going on that people have a lot of other complaints. Scotland, I think, messed up a lot of students' future hopes. And Nicola Sturgeon, the antichrist for the region, I think she's taken it on the chin, the fact that she messed it all up. So please do pray for young people in Scotland, young people in our country as well, in the UK, or the rest of the UK, because people's futures are depending upon these results. And 2 years down the line, all the GCSE results now will affect the university offers that young people get. So please do remember them at this time. There'll be a lot of people, a lot of young people whose lives will have changed since what time? 5 or 6 o'clock this morning. So please do pray for them. There's a lot going on still in the world. I don't know if you noticed in the newspapers that the UK is now officially in recession. It's not going to stop at the UK, unfortunately. It's going to spread throughout the world if things don't get sorted out. Please do pray about that. And I don't know what the Lord can do. All I know is that from the Bible, in Matthew chapter 24, again, Matthew, the Word of God says that until Jesus comes back, people will be buying and selling and giving in marriage and taking in marriage, and that pretty much sounds like normal life to me. So things will get back to normal. You don't have to worry about that. But in the meantime, please do pray for souls. Please do pray for the souls that think it's a good idea to go out and wreck around them. Black Lives Matter is not a Christian organization, and it is only interested, its interests include destroying the nuclear family. The very thing that would make sure that the likes of George Floyd would never have gotten to the state that he was in, Black Lives Matter are against that. They're against moms and dads having a positive influence on their children's lives. They're for Black Lives Matter if you're a homosexual, if you're a lesbian, if you're transgender, or you're an out-and-out troublemaker. Please do pray for souls that have been duped. Please do pray for all of the countries, America, for Britain, for China, for Russia, for Australia, for goodness, the whole world at this particular time. And especially pray for Israel. We need to pray for Israel and God's people. Is there anything else we may have missed? Anything that anyone would like us to pray about? Okay. I know folks have private prayer requests. Anybody here not have a private prayer request? Everybody has a private prayer request. Okay. Rightio. I would ask that you would continue to pray for me. I am getting better. It's just that I'm still getting tired. Thankfully not as tired, and I'm picking up a lot quicker than I used to do. But I still really appreciate your prayers. Please do pray for Stephen, for John and Carol. And haven't been with us the past week or two, mostly because Stephen has yet to apologize to a couple of people in the church that he was blaming for his drinking. So please do pray for Stephen and John and Carol, if you would. I think that's about that. If there's any other prayer requests, let me know. Is anybody any thanks that they want to make known? Frank, see your hand going up? It's like being at the auctions here. Has anybody got any thanks? Anything that God's done for them during the week? I'm doing better. Yeah. Okie dokie. Mark doing better. All right. We'll have a word of prayer and then we'll get on. And again, my apologies for being a little bit delayed in starting. Would you lead us, Christy, please? Thank you.
Many good gifts to come with mine from above all our lives, Lord. Thank you for never changing, Lord, in these changing times. For Lord, being faithful to us, even when we're not faithful to you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for Lord, your word and Lord, just the rock there is for each of your children. Lord, we pray especially today for the pastor, Lord, as he stands to proclaim your word, that you bless and honor him, Lord, for the preparation of today's home, Lord, for what you've laid in his heart. We pray that you guide and lead him this evening. Lord, bless your word to us, Lord, just minister your hearts here, and Lord, those that listen to the recording later. Pray, Lord, that your church and your children receive their needs at the time to listen. Lord, remember John, we pray especially for Christine and Walt this time, for doctors, nurses, dealing with John, Lord, that you would help them get them stabilized, Lord, and just turn it all around like only you can, Lord, please. Pray, pray for Sammy as well, Lord, you would in this heart and mind, even this hour, Lord, that you would put the pieces together, convict him greatly, Lord, of how close he is, Lord, to step off into eternity, Lord, and save his soul, we pray. Pray for Kate as well, Lord, to be with her, Lord, comfort her heart, Lord, to even challenge her a better stand in eternity as well, I pray at this time too. Remember those that couldn't be here, the McMahon family, Lord, for Pat and Steve, Lord, for the connection that they've asked us to pray for as well, for David Murray. Lord, we pray for touch for him for salvation. Lord,
yes,
he's
Lord.
Not saved as well. Lord, we remember Steve with the pre-diabetes, Lord, in Texas. Lord, if you would be with him, Lord, at this time, Lord, just get him back and speak, Lord, as well, please. Lord, we remember Leonard, Lord, and ask that you protect him in the home and in the heart, Lord, as you watch over and keep him. Remember well as he works, Lord, and over this coming week with all the things, is what comes his way as well. Just give him a portion of wisdom and grace as well. Thank you for Mark doing better this week, Lord. We ask and pray that you continue to help them in his recovery. Lord, that you be with every church tonight, Lord, as we meet together and preach in the full counsel of your word. Lord, you would be magnified, honored, and glorified in this dark old times, Lord. Please save the lost, Lord, and strengthen your children. Pray in Jesus' name.
Thanks, Brian. All right. Hymn number 406. 406. If you want to stand, you're welcome to stand, but we're going to sing, Who is on the Lord's Side? Excuse me.
But the kings are
seated and you can put away your hymn books for a little bit. We are going to be in Exodus 32, if you would like to take your Bibles and turn there. Exodus 32, beginning at verse number 21. Exodus chapter 32, beginning at verse number 21. And we are taking the words of one of the verses in these verses and the title for the last song, the question or the challenge, if you want to put it that way, who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? And the word of God says, "And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set in mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, and I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses had said, Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Amen. Verse number 26. For Moses challenges the children of Israel with the words, Who is on the Lord's side is our text and is our title. We'll have another word of prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this opportunity, for the ever-open door to come before you to tell your heart's desire, Lord. To bring souls before you, to call out names. We know, Lord, that... We know, Lord, that you hear us because we're your children. Father, I'm just thankful that you love us, that you have a lot of patience, and Lord, that you're a forgiving God. Because really, Lord, if you weren't a forgiving God, none of us would be here. I pray you, Father, please, that you would take this time that we've set aside to teach, to edify, to help us to understand a little bit more, to be better prepared, or at least pointed in the right direction whenever we go home. Please, Lord, put your good hand upon all the preachers and teachers of your word that open the King James Bible and preach the full counsel of it, Lord, or if they're finished or if they're just starting off, Lord, please. Lord, I know we as your children, we need more good things, especially as the days get darker and darker. Let us, Lord, just keep our eyes upon you. We love you and thank you. Pray that you would lead and guide me with the words to say, even as we continue on through your word. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, Father, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. You might have noticed a little cough or a splutter earlier on. I think the reason for it is going up and down the road. They're cutting silage and they're gathering silage. And my throat feels like I've been gargling sand for most of the night. And the old Sandman has come and sprinkled some stuff in my eyes as well. So, hence the bit of a splutter in the last hymn. And I still feel a bit like that. But, amen. As you open Exodus 32, Moses is up in Mount Sinai, and he's been speaking to God for a bit. Everyone else has been warned, look, stay away from the mountain on the pain of death, except for Joshua. Now, Joshua was his go-to man, and we know, because we're not bound by time whenever we read the Bible. We've read on, I'm sure, on many other occasions, and found out that Joshua was the next man to whom the mantle of lawgiver or leader of the children of Israel fell to whenever Moses gave up the ghost. But Moses has been up there for quite a while. And he has been receiving not just the Ten Commandments, because let's be honest, you or I could probably memorize the Ten Commandments in an hour. If there was a guy standing with a gun to our heads, we could memorize the Ten Commandments in an hour, and we could have been away down the mountain. We wouldn't even have needed the stone tablets which were written on them. But it's been a few days, it's been a few weeks, it's been a month and a bit. And in the meantime, the children of Israel, the ones that Aaron has been left in charge of, they have started to misbehave. They, first of all, wonder where Moses is gone. Hold on a wee second. The man to whom God speaks and through whom God acts in the presence of the children of Israel, he's not about. Ergo, in their little heads, God is not watching. So we need another God. So if you were to turn back, you can turn back to the start of Exodus 32. And if you look at the first verse, I want to give you a very quick rundown on the way things go. And as I was reading this, I got to thinking about a lot of the trouble that's going on in the world today. And I think I'm going to point out a few things. And I think you'll probably see where a lot of our problems come from today. First of all, in Exodus 31 verse 2, 1, Exodus 32 verse 1, sorry. All the people get together. They all get really brave when there's a whole bunch of them. They think that there's safety and anonymity in numbers and that judgment or punishment will never come their way. And they approach Aaron, who really was a weak leader. As we even read there, he said, let not that in verse 22... the people are, you know the people that they're setting mischief. But Moses said to Aaron, what have you allowed? What have you done to these people? You've allowed this to happen. Anyway, Aaron is a weak leader. And maybe he was a bit more influenced by the numbers, but Moses wasn't. And he listened to them and he gave in to their demands. And their demand was, make us gods. This Moses, this man, in other words, they're making him little. They're making him of no consequence, therefore anything he says is of no consequence. Make us gods to go before us. Make us a God that will bless us when we do what we want to do. Because this other guy, we don't know where he is. And that's the same old song that lost souls have been singing for generations. They don't know why Christians do anything. So anyway, Aaron makes a golden calf. He makes them all contribute to it. A statue that they can put wherever they want, that they can point in any direction that they want, and get a blessing for any idea they want, and that's just exactly what they do. And even though they think it's a great idea, there's one man that doesn't at least. God Almighty is not happy with it. And he says to Moses, whenever they start dancing around and tearing their clothes off and almost certainly drinking and getting drunk and fornicating and committing adultery, God says to Moses, Moses, you'd best get back down to my people because they have corrupted themselves. And so Moses and Joshua are making their way back to the camp and they hear this awful sound, an awful uproar. And you've probably heard it before if you've ever played, Black Sabbath or something like that, death metal, and even some of the Christian metal that there is out there. Joshua says, it sounds like there's a war going on down there. All the shouting and growling and whatnot. Moses said, it's not the sound of war, it's the sound of partying. That's the sound of people having a good time, fighting amongst themselves, drinking, committing immorality, throwing in the words of the second Psalm, they talk about casting the gods, as it bounds off of them, doing whatever they want with no consequence. And Moses has just spent the last 40 days and nights in God's presence. And having to go back into the world and deal with all the nonsense and drivel, I'm sure annoyed him enough. But for these people that have quite literally seen, had the presence of God in front of them at every moment of every day, Moses loses the plot a wee bit. And he throws down the stone tablets and breaks them. And this is pretty much where we come in. And he challenges Aaron. And he says, What have you let happen? And Aaron says, the people are going to do what the people are going to do. And Aaron didn't want to stop them, so anyway. What Moses does in verses 25 and 26 and 27, Moses stands in the gate of the camp and he shouts out this challenge, who is on the Lord's side? And he doesn't shout it to any one particular tribe, but there's only one particular tribe that answers the call. That is the tribe of Levi. And if you were to read on through the book of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, until the children of Israel get back into the promised land, it is the tribe of Levi that is God, that has God for their inheritance. They don't get any land as their inheritance, just enough space to build their homes and to keep a few animals. They don't get huge tracts of land like or a country like all of the other tribes. They have the Lord. And this is what Moses says. Who's on the Lord's side? And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves. And then this is what Moses said to them. Every man get a sword and put it by his side. And I want you to go in from gate to gate in the camp, from one end of the camp to the other, and slay, kill everyone that you come across that's out running about with no clothes on, drinking and carrying on and fornicating and doing whatever else it is that they do. And whether they're your brother, whether they're your neighbor, or whomever they are, this judgment is upon all of them. And it cost 3,000 men their lives. Memory serves, just after, in the book of Acts, after the end of the Gospels in John, wasn't it 3,000 that were added unto the church in that first day? Moses calls, if you're on the Lord's side, and those men stood up. And the sad thing about it is, it's a similar story that still happens today. Sin has an awful cost. In this case, there were 3,000 men that never had to die. This was the judgment for disobeying God, for rejecting God and following idols. We see in the book of Revelation at least 3.5 to 4 billion souls that are going to die. And the sad thing about it is they never had to. But they will, because they rejected God. 3,000 men that left families without fathers, husbands and sons. 3,000 men that could have done so much for the cause of Christ, for the betterment of the situation of Israel. Because they rejected the word of God, their lives were forfeit. I want for you to see something. This didn't stick out because of this, but this stuck out afterwards. We still see today mobs enforcing their will on weak leaders. And if you ever want to see one, you look at the city of Chicago. And you see the Chicago mayor that gave in to the mobs that wanted the police defunded. And that's exactly what's happened. And then she's scarpered. And these weak leaders will do anything. They will say yes to anything as long as they're left in charge. Men are still looking for gods to worship that will let them do anything they want. And these people are more than happy to provide them. And men still have an incredible lacking of information about God and His Word and an understanding of those that worship Him. And then they wonder at the very, very end of their lives, the very, very high cost of low living. And there's not just 3,000 men that are going into eternity in this day and age. I would say from the start of the day till the end of the day, at least 3,000 people go into eternity without Jesus Christ as their Savior. I don't know what it is. I remember a preacher coming here one time and he had a clock, and not a clock, but a counter. And I think it was once every few seconds someone was stepping off into eternity. For every hour, we'll say once every 10 seconds, that's 360 people. Multiply that by 20, and only that's about 7,000 people in a day stepping off into eternity. That's crazy. And 99.9% of them are lost. But the thing about this is, even though this was written over 3,000 years ago, maybe 4,000 years ago, or not far off of it, this same challenge is the same thing that God is issuing today. And in many cases, the challenge hasn't been answered. The challenge is, who is on the Lord's side? Are you prepared to stand for the cause of Christ? Because I have never seen a time in the whole history of man where things change so much so quickly. Are you prepared to stand when everybody else is falling for anything? I heard a preacher say one time, if you don't stand for Christ, you'll fall for anything. And that's just the way we are. This sword that Moses said to the sons of Levi, gird your swords by your side, says, do you have your sword girded? Not by your side, but in your heart. We're talking about the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God talks about the gospel armor. It says to gird about your loins with the truth. It says to put on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace, the breastplate of righteousness to protect your heart, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And it says it is sharper than any two-edged sword. Because you might try and take a sword and stick it through someone's chest that has a breastplate on, and that'll stop your sword. But there is no armor in the world that stops the Word of God. Do you have it ready? And it's no good saying, oh, I have the Word of God in my Bible, or I have it even on my phone. It'll speak it to me. Well, that's really good. That's a bit like, what use is a gun in a packing crate in the back of a plane to a soldier on the battlefront? Exactly none. And that's exactly how much use your Bible on your phone or in your pocket is to you when you're contending for somebody's soul. If you don't have the Bible in your heart, the Bible in your pocket is no good whatsoever to you. And do you know how to use it? Do you know how to go to war? Have you studied to show yourself approved? Have you hid it in your heart so as not to sin against God? Have you prepared your heart and mind for the Holy Spirit to deliver you the very words that you need when you need them? Are you ready to go forth, it says, from one gate of the camp to another? Are you ready to go where the Lord calls you to go and preach the gospel? Not to people that you don't, not just to people you don't know, but to the people that live beside you, to your own family. Are you ready? God doesn't need killers in this world. He needs people that are ready to wield the sword of the Spirit as a warrior. Those verses in 2 Samuel 22, where Samuel says, thou teachest my hands to make war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms, are still the same, but we're not fighting to crack skulls and take names. We're fighting a spiritual war. We're fighting against strongholds that the devil has set up in people's hearts and minds. And the only way they're going to be gotten through is with the proper application of the Word of God. Are you prepared to make this decision? Now, I know sometimes it can be quite embarrassing. We've been told that. We've been shown that on the TV. We've been shown it in the films. We've been shown it in print, that it's embarrassing to speak about the gospel. Paul said that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. We should take him at his word. It is the very power of God. There's something in it. We were just having a conversation to that effect out in the foyer there before the service began. The word of God is good to hear for any soul that loves him. So what's it to be? It really comes down to us making a decision. In this case, the decision is life and death in this little portion. Moses said to the children of Levi, the sons of Levi, take your swords and go. And if you weren't standing with them, you weren't the one swinging the sword. You were the one getting the sword swung at you. You were one of the 3,000. Sometimes it pays not to be in the crowd. Are you on the Lord's side? It's a strange thing. But sometimes people think you can't have the same opinion as God. And that's a true thing. I never thought about it once, but God's opinions are pretty good. In fact, they're the best opinions to have. And many years ago, I got invited to have tea with Stephen Nolan. And there was a Presbyterian man there from the Union Theological College, so he's supposed to know his Bible, and teaching it to other students. There was a woman there whose son was a homosexual, and then there was a guy there from the Rainbow Project, because if it's from the Rainbow Center, he would have kittens for everybody, isn't that right? Rainbow Project. And Stephen Nolan said, what do you think about this, Mark? And I said, I believe what the Bible says, but what do you think? I said, I think what the Bible says. What's your opinion? He says, my opinion is the same as God's opinion, and I'm allowed to have that. We are allowed to have that. And just like back in the day, people have gotten a bad dose of gazelle syndrome. You ever hear that? You know the gazelles, they roam around in huge herds. And they think that the numbers are going to protect them. But it gives them a false sense of security because the lion always gets one. They always get one, and eventually it'll be you. And you know what, friends? Eventually, it'll be you or me if we're not careful. People don't realize that the false gods that so many people worship and the weak leaders that provide them for people, they're not helping anybody. The very standards that people make fun of and try and destroy are the very things that enable us to go out to work in the morning and not have to fight our way, not have to kill people to get to where we work. Driving on the proper side of the road, being polite to people, using traffic signs, using our indicators, stopping when people step out onto the road. Those things, those Christian principles that people hate so much, are the very things that keep the wheels turning. But yet and all, goodness, what was it? The leader of the south of Ireland was an out-and-out homosexual. I think that's changed. Leo Varadkar. The leader of the UK is an adulterer and a fornicator. Boris Johnson. And we're supposed to wonder why our country's going to the dogs. The leader of the greatest country in the free world, so-called, America, at one time was a sexual predator, Bill Clinton. And some of the ones that have turned up in the White House ever since are just not what you would call the pillars of society. And we wonder why bad things are happening. And until good men stand up and call sin, sin, and wrong, wrong, it's going to get worse and worse. I was accused in a backhanded way of being a bit of a glory hound whenever I would keep phoning Steve Nolan when he came out with these crazy things about God. And I did it in principle because they were calling my God names. Until I came across a distant relation away in the back of beyond. And you know what they said to me? Mark, we're so glad to hear you speaking up out there, because a lot of people don't know those things. A lot of people need to know that you're allowed to have another opinion. That encourages other people to speak up. Especially in a day whenever you can be quite literally crucified for having a different opinion. People, whether they like it or not, need for you and me to be on the Lord's side. Because otherwise it's not going to be thousands of people that end up going to the sword. It's going to be billions of people that go to the sword. And even of the 3.5 or 4 billion that are left, most of them are going to be lost as well. And it's not God that's killing them. It's the false gods that they worship, that teach them that there's no God but Muhammad, that teach them Buddha is the way to be, or just to do whatever in your own heart, or to, if you sit long enough saying the same word over and over enough, that somehow you'll raise yourself to a spiritual plane that'll make you equal with God and you'll be a Mormon, having your own planet somewhere. Those are the things that kill souls. Saying no, it's wrong, is not killing people. But worshipping false gods does. Now, I know sometimes you'd like to slap people. You really would. How can people be as stupid as they are in this so-called age of enlightenment, when all the information that they have for anything, from making a cup of tea to building a nuclear weapon, is freely available on the internet? You would think people would at least be able to pick the right things to do. With, dear, what do you have to say? Hi, Google, and your phone buzzes. Tell me the safest lifestyle to live. It would say Christianity. It's easy on the mind, and it's easy on the body, and it's easy on the wallet. What could possibly be better? Goodness. Who is on the Lord's side? Which souls are prepared to stand and be counted? Which souls have prepared themselves with the Word of God? Which souls are prepared to go and bring it up and uphill and down dale? Which souls are prepared to make it part of their everyday lives? Not necessarily a street corner, but just day-to-day lives. Which souls are prepared to say no to those that are stepping over the line? Who is on the Lord's side? I'm going to stop there and thank you for your good time. God bless you. We have one more song to sing, and as soon as I look at my list, I will be able to tell you what it is. And then, as Moses said to Pharaoh, I will let your people go, Lord. Now, I have a couple of options. Thou dost leave thy throne, or let the lower lights. Do we sing Let the Lower Lights? No? Not yet. Or does anybody have a favourite that'd like for us all to sing? That's my selection. If you have one that you would like to sing, I'm quite happy to sing it. Well, we're all quite happy to sing it. Anybody got one?
Three 321.
What is it? Where he leads, I'll follow. Do you know that one?
I know, I take that. Is it in the music machine?
Nope.
I can play it.
Go for it, we'll do it for the crack. Do you want to come up and sing it good and loud under the microphone? Have we sung it before? This mic, is this one of yours?
No,
isn't it? Let's do it then. Let's do it. Yep. Sweet are the promises, kind is the word. Got it. We're all good, Ling. You don't have to sing a solo and lead all of you.
Don't want a verse.
No, we're all good. Play the last bar or two, and then we'll jump in. Let's stand as we sing. For the reminder, Lynn. Norma, did you have one you wanted to sing as well, or are you good with that one?
No.
That'll work for me. Christy, would you pray for us, please, and dismiss the meeting if you would?
Lord, we are thankful this time around your word, Lord. We still have the privilege to come into your house and worship with our brethren, Lord. Thank you. Like minded brethren, Lord, for the message for them. The preacher's faithfulness and deliver. Lord, if you charge minds, Lord, direct your will this week, Lord, guide and lead your children. We do pray, Lord, we ask. Each year here will be open to the small, still voice, Lord, the sound of your voice to guide and direct our lives. Help us, Lord, please, to shine brighter, Lord, in these darker days. Lord, just to radiate your love everywhere we go, Lord, and abound your truth everywhere we go as well. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord, for your many blessings, for salvation today, Lord, for the answered prayers that you provide as well.
Hmm.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, folks. God bless you. Touch elbows and toes and whatever else it is that people do these days.